For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
Every single Wednesday, we are joined by our preferred Kerno, Edward, a former Carlton player.
Current legend.
And we love chatting about footy. Ed, I've been putting off chatting to you about a particular game. Mm-hmm. And we love your insight. Some expert you are, aren't you?
Yes.
200 games, that's a lot of footy to play. So you know your stuff. You claim you know your stuff, right? Yeah.
It was at Carlton, so anyone was getting the game for a few years. But I do know my stuff, and I do know that Essendon are horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who matters worse, West Coast or Essendon, but I think we just discovered before your feelings around Essendon.
Well, as a lifelong Essendon fan, I've grown up very resilient. And as a someone who's like spent a lot of time at Carlton, you also have grown up with resilience because since the year
less resilience though because we've won more flags.
Yes, that's you've won the same amount of flags, 16 apiece.
Ooh,
careful.
Family show.
Who won Ed on Kerner. The weekend?
Well, yeah, Carlton and Essendon played on Sunday night. I was at the Torquay Hotel watching the game with two Blues supporters.
So you didn't go to the game.
No, I didn't go to the game because I didn't want to get home
really
at 2 o'clock.
Hard rusted on supporter, aren't you?
And the Blues got it done by 5 or 6 points in the end. And did you watch the game?
I did watch the game, and it looked like Essendon showed up and showed some heart, which is nice to see of them. And it's always tough when you're a better side playing against a lowly team that's had a really struggling year. And it's tough to get motivated for those games. And often the lowly team will get fired up. Yeah, we're the underdogs. We're going hard today. And we don't like these guys. Yeah, rah, rah, rah. And they'll hold that momentum through the majority of the game. But in the end, the team that should win wins. And that's what happened on the weekend.
Yep.
So unsurprising result.
So look, over the last few weeks, we've been running our mouths here and creating stupid bets every single week. And last week, Tim, you sort of said, hey, I reckon I'll put a bet on with Essendon versus Carlton.
It was a triple down.
Crazy triple down on this. And of course, Essendon have lost, which means that you are going to have to hold a press conference right here with a script that Ed and I have come up with.
All right. Well, I'm fine with what you've put in there. I don't know. I'm worried about what Ed Kerno could have potentially put in there. So, all right.
My contribution is questionable.
Okay. Now, Ed, no interrupting.
Okay.
Because I know you like to get lippy.
No, of course.
Anything I need to know?
Well, I was just going to say, Ed and I did have a chat about this. We did think, look, you have suffered enough as an Essendon supporter.
Uh-huh.
So we've gone with a bit of a different angle today.
All right. Here we go. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you for attending this difficult time. Firstly, I'd like to remind supporters that while the result might not have gone our way, the Essendon Football Club did successfully participate in a game of football. The players showed tremendous commitment, particularly during the warm-up, and several athletes displayed excellent running throughout various parts of the afternoon. I'd also like to acknowledge that Carlton were very good. In fact, some would argue they were better than us in a number of key areas, including football. There were plenty of positives, though. We're still identifying exactly what they are, but we're confident they existed. The club remains committed to our long-term strategy of maintaining hope regardless of available evidence. It's important to remember that winning isn't everything. Sometimes football is about resilience, there we go, character, getting home before traffic, and finding creative ways to explain a disappointing scoreboard. I'd also like to reassure fans that every player successfully located the venue, arrived on time, and wore the correct uniform. Finally, while the result wasn't what we wanted, the boys gave 110%. Unfortunately, the opposition gave a football performance. Thank you for your continued support, your patience, and your willingness to lower expectations as required. There'll be no further questions at this time, mainly because I don't have any answers.
Well done.
Well done.
Well done. Well done, Timothy.
I don't, if you ask me to write a statement, I think it could look similar. This isn't a stitch-up. This is really airing a lot of the things I feel. And do you know what the sad thing is? Really, in the last day or so, my son, Jack, who's about to turn 3, has really started showing his love for the
Carlton.
Bombers. No, for the Bombers.
Oh,
and
shame.
When I came home from the pub on Sunday night, the next morning he said, Dad, did you have fun at the pub? And I was like, oh, well, Essendon, the Bombers lost. And he said, oh, you must be very sad. Very sad.
He said, always, son.
Very, very sad. Always, son.
Always. Always. So That's a lot to take in.
Your son okay? Nah, watching his sad dad come back from the pub every weekend. Always sad. Dave, should we go look after Tim's
he's
son?
He's going to be a resilient boy. He's going to be resilient. Ed Curdo is still sticking around. A bit of fun. Okay? We're knocking a quaddy down.
Tim and Davo.
That's Slater there. Dance. Tim and Davo. Kicking with Ed Kerner on K-Rock. Thanks to Metrol Geelong. Better service, better advice, better building solutions. Ed Kerner comes by every Wednesday, Davo, and chats footy, runs his mouth, and we love him for it.
It's a good dance song. You good dancer, Tim?
Actually.
Don't get him started. This man doesn't stop moving 24-7. Body rolling around the office like nobody's business.
I can't follow instruction or choreography, but if I catch a beat, my body tells me what's up.
Isn't that following? Oh, you're following the beat.
Yes, my body just sings to it.
You much of a dancer, Ed?
Yeah.
Not great. I don't have much rhythm. I have tried in the past, but it's kind of all out of whack.
God. Let's get Ed on the stage show.
No, all right. Dancing with the Stars.
I can't dance. I dance with my upper body that's a bit tight.
I mean, you've got the biggest arms I've ever seen, so that's why they're tight. Now, Ed, I want to talk to you. Where do you land on conspiracy theories? Like general conspiracy theories or specifically AFL conspiracy theories? Have a think.
Well, no, get on with the question.
So you didn't hear the question, did you?
Where did I land with conspiracy theories? Yeah. I think they're a joke. Okay. But I do believe in some.
Okay.
So I am very particular with...
I want to talk about a conspiracy theory of mine that involves the AFL. And I think Carlton experienced this similar punishment from the AFL. Because I believe, and I was explaining this to my Carlton friends at the Torquay Hotel on Sunday night, that Essendon, Essendon is at the end of their 10-year punishment from the AFL for bringing the game into disrepute with the drug saga scandal from 2016.
But how long did drugs stay in your system, Tim?
18 months.
No, I think they're still there. I reckon they could still be there. Yeah,
they're definitely performance-enhancing athletes at the moment at the Essendon Football Club.
Well, I was going to say, they surely wouldn't be on them now.
They can go the other way, drugs, can't they?
So I think in pivotal moments of the game, again, this is a conspiracy theory of mine, and I think Carlton copped this after the salary cap issue and the bags of money in the late 90s, early 2000s. Mm. They copped their 10 years of punishment, and for a 10-year period from the year like 2000 to 2010, umpiring decisions, it just conveniently went the other team's way at pivotal moments in the game. Don't look at me like that.
No,
so you reckon there's someone on the mark to the umpires going, they haven't done their 10 years yet.
They know. They know and they'll go, oh, this is important. Holding the ball.
Carlton, your free kick.
Carlton free kick or whoever the team is.
Now, look, I love a conspiracy theory. I'm going to get my tinfoil hat on for you right here. Now, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a power within the AFL, but I would say there's an air energy out there for sure. I would say this is a more of a mystical energy that they've got on them, like a negative, a curse from the universe. Yeah, yeah, like it's a curse, if anything, a 10-year curse maybe. But I don't think that they're all whispering and whatever because we've seen how they've played and I don't think the umpires have got anything to do with it.
But Carlton also, like you can't deny that they had their 10 years where it just went, everything that could have gone bad, went bad. Yeah, well, 20-ish years.
So I'm wondering where you get the 10, but I'm on board now. Like, I reckon the universe knows.
Ooh. Are you a stars and signs kind of man? What's your star sign, Ed Kerner?
I couldn't tell you a star.
What's your birth date?
Capricorn. November. What am I?
No, you're not November. A Capricorn. November. What's the date? What is the date of your birth?
7 November.
7 November. Thank you for answering that in English. It's going to make it easier for people with that star sign. Davo's working on it.
So you reckon it's turning? Because I brought
Scorpio.
This up.
Scorpio. Of course.
Oh, my God.
He's such a classic Scorpio.
I brought up, let's move on from the stars, but we conspiracy theories. We spoke about Geelong's Jew, didn't we? And the Yang Wen incident a bit ago where they've been, you know, trying to party with all their players to get them drafted at Crown and Yang's just shipping them around the world on party trips. And
stop bringing up Yang Wen.
So Essendon...
That man's name haunts my dreams.
So since I've mentioned that, Geelong have lost two in a row. Carlton have won four in a row.
Four on the row.
And now Tim is sensing a turn of events at Essendon.
So there's something in it, you reckon?
So Geelong's slipping and Essendon Blues are coming back.
Well,
this wasn't about Geelong.
But it's also for someone coincides who hates, with Geelong. Because ever since that's happened, Geelong's been good. And we're saying the universe does this.
For someone who hates Geelong.
We're all bringing
Geelong,
conspiracy theories to the table. I think
No, we don't have to. We'll do that next week. No. Hey, mate, we love when you swing by. Mate. Yeah, he's playing with things in the studio. He's not meant to. Thanks to Metro Geelong, Ed Curnow.
We could be anything.
Have a great weekend. We will see you this time next week.
Put your pants on it.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
You know, certain stereotypes or certain careers, they certainly get a bad rap.
Yeah, like people think radio announcers are fun to hang out with, good to chat with. And I think you and I really, you carry that. I don't know if someone bumped into me in the street, like, man, he was just so chatty.
It's a resting bitch face you have. It's really full on. It's not very inviting. It's very confronting for people to see.
I'm just living. I'm just walking, living my life. I've got no idea what's going on.
And you look furious about it, you know?
It's just my eyebrows.
But no, I met someone over the weekend that really broke the mold. And I'm talking about a parking inspector.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough job. Mm-hmm. Like, no one's ever seen a parking inspector except for the person that they give the money to at the end of the day and been like, great, you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Geelong, where parking is famously easy and available, I feel for them because they are, but they're just doing their job
of
and they
course.
Are totally entitled to be giving out fines. And I've copped three this year. Mm-hmm. I'll say that.
And like you said, they are doing their jobs. But in the past, in my lifetime, I have never had a pleasant one-on-one chat with a parking inspector.
Right.
Until the weekend. We went to the Split Point Lighthouse.
Oh, like where they film Round the Twist. Mm-hmm. Great. In Aries.
Bit of an adventure. Me and my friends. So we had two cars there. And I went in to park at the car park there, pulled in, turned my car off, and I got this little knock on the window by the most pleasant young man I have ever come across in my life. Wow. He goes, excuse me. And I said, oh, sorry, mate. And he goes, just so you know, there's no standing here. And if you don't mind just moving your car, it'd be really greatly appreciated. I hope you have a nice day. And I literally could not believe the beautiful interaction I just had with this young man. I was more than happy to move my car. In fact, I couldn't believe I'd even stop there for a second. That's how lovely he was.
Wow.
We've gone around the corner, parked our car. Then our friends go around there. Same thing happened to them. They've pulled up around with us and they go, you would not believe it. I said, I bet you I would. They said, we just met the nicest parking inspector of all time. I said, yes! Wasn't he a delight?
Because he could have done you a dirty.
Breaking the mold, breaking a stereotype, being the most incredibly pleasant, lovely young man I've ever met.
But it is, like, you're so right. The stigma that and the stench that is automatically attached to that job title of a parking inspector. Because it's not like emergency services where it's like, oh, some people have opinion on police and all these things. And we love our police here in Geelong. But like you can't have it. You can't. It's tricky to form an opinion on a parking inspector because their job is literally, it's not to reward people for good parking. It is to fine them for illegal parking. Mm-hmm. And to get such a lovely, because he could have just seen you knocking and going, like parking and going, we're on here. Get his little machine out.
Licking his lips.
Blow off the dust and he goes,
puffing
we're
his chest
on.
Up.
But no, he's a lovely guy in a profession that isn't, I think, given a lot of love and respect.
And let's think about some of those professions that aren't given much love and respect because they do have jobs that aren't so great.
Okay.
I'm thinking things like, obviously, parking inspectors, debt collectors. What about...
In my mind, debt collectors are always a guy named Tony. And he's like, you got 5 days to get me $6,000.
Not necessarily. But yes, I do understand. They're not sharks out there. You know, telemarketers, lawyers, bouncers or security guards. Like all of these sort of have stigmas around them.
I feel for bouncers that are just like, someone's acting like a fool. And they go, sorry, you got to get out. And they go, you don't tell me to get out. And they go, well, it's literally my job. You're acting like a nuffy. Get out.
I thought, nuffy. Given our old mate, what's his name? Brad Scott.
Brad Scott. Chris Scott.
Sorry, mate.
Brad's the one that lost his job.
Ooh. I thought we'd open the phones up and talk to people that are in professions that people generally hate.
Oh, okay.
So if you are a lawyer, if you are a bouncer, if you are a debt collector, if you are a parking inspector, if you're a real estate agent, we'd love to hear from you.
5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. Lily in Leopold. Is it you that works in this profession, or is it somebody else?
Hi, guys. It's my sister, and she's a debt collector.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
It's a one-way interaction, mostly.
Like a fines enforcer or something?
Yeah. Anyway, I won't out her, but she's a debt collector.
And is she, like, what's she like? Is she... Like, is she a bit of a piece of work, or is she breaking the mold like this park inspector?
No, Davo, she's breaking the mold. She is a literal ray of sunshine. Oh. Like, people thank her. Thank her for collecting their debt. Yeah, it's crazy.
I know, Davo, you've set up a payment thing for an amount you've got due, and you set it to
thank
be
you
like
for the reminder.
You set it to like $20 a fortnight or something like that, because you could set your own amount to
$30 a month.
Yeah, and they chased you up about it, and you were like, "Get off my back!" Like, yeah. What low amount can you not get upset about? Because like, you didn't like that debt collector, but
no.
Lily, you're saying people, she handles it so well that people are like, "Hey, thank you so much!" Like, this, it's a weight off my shoulders getting this debt back to you.
I think she's just very understanding, very compassionate, and people like probably like Davo. Like, once that debt is sorted, they're pleased, you know? So once she's collected it, they actually feel better.
Well, in 17 months, when Davo's debt is paid off, I'm sure she'll be very appreciative. Lily from Leopold, we appreciate your call. Elle in Corio, do you work in a profession that people hate?
Absolutely.
Oh, what do you do?
Hang on. Sorry, I'm a traffic controller.
I don't think that's a bad one. Like, you're we know you're getting a good wicket, so that's we're stoked for.
Oh,
you.
Yeah.
Sorry. She is. She's loving
I'm
it.
Assuming,
sitting
I'm
on
fully
a
assuming.
Mountain of cash.
What, talk us through, like, you. So you think the general public don't like traffic controllers?
No, I don't like traffic controllers either when I'm on the road.
Well, you do. You want them off the road. You want them to get out of the way so you can get to, you know, from A to B. So I do understand that.
Like, I think we're just put out there to inconvenience people's life. That's what people think.
No, because, yeah. Like, I feel there's only two seasons of the year where I don't feel for a traffic controller. It's spring and autumn. Winter, I feel for you. Summer, I feel for you. Because you're out there either in the pouring rain, freezing cold, blistering sun. And, like, I imagine, have you ever been dropped off, like, a water bottle or, like, icy poles from people in summer on those, like, hot days, Al?
Absolutely, I have. People have dropped off icy poles and bottles of water, and we do the same. If we go past another traffic mob, we always, and we're finished, yeah, having my cold bottle of water. Yeah.
That's nice. See,
we love it.
That's lovely. I mean, but on the other side of things, are you copping a little bit of abuse?
I've been hit once.
Oh, okay.
No, by a car.
That's awful.
Oh,
my gosh.
And it's constant. You ask people to stop, and they will rev their engine and come at you. That's a big thing.
Ow. I'm so sorry. I never knew.
What I love, though, is they'll come, they call your names and everything, and you're like, you know, thank you, because I've tried so hard to be that witch today. That witch. Ooh, I can't use the word witch.
We like the word witch here on the camera.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
I'm not proud of this, but when you're in a group of friends and you're playing a bunch of games or mucking around, a particular game that always pops up for us has got to be Snog, Marry, Avoid.
Yep. That's definitely the words... and the name of that exact game, Snog, Marry, Avoid.
Yes, yeah. That is
avoid
correct.
Permanently, I hear.
Yeah, there's different variations, but that's the one we're going to go with right here.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right here on the show, Snog, Marry, Avoid. And look, it's a bit of fun. You sort of go through a bunch of people and you sort of give little groups of three and choose who you'd snog, who you'd marry and who you'd avoid, right?
I mean, yeah, like when I was... a teenager.
Yep.
Yeah, bit of fun. haven't played that game of Monopoly in a while, but it was, yeah, it's a fun game to play.
Yeah, and I think the thing is I've been friends with this group of people since we were teenagers, It's sort of one of those little silly things that we still continue on.
You bring up people that no one's thought of in 15 years,
yeah.
You go like, Riley O'Briley, you know? Sorry. Trying to come up with a fake name.
It really was. Like, no one believes you know O'Briley or something. Crazy. But yeah, so obviously you're going through every single person you know, and we're making these groups up and we're having a great chuckle. But then you run out of people, and our friendship group decided to bring this game internal.
No, you never bring it in-house. That's a bad idea. Like, I would never say, let's play Snog, Marry, Avoid with me, you, and like Ava in the newsroom, because I know I'm getting avoided.
Well, you never know. You know, this
is the thing. No, you know, you're getting snogged, Ava's getting married, and I'm getting avoided over and over and over permanently.
Yeah. So this is the thing, and this is what happened, is that we're all sitting in this group, and we keep getting out these groups of three, right? And you know, I'm obviously included in these groups, and Tim, when I say I was avoided,
no, you're much more of a snogger.
Multiple times. Oh, no. I was avoided. You, Davo, yuck, avoid.
I mean, at what point do you stand up and you go, hey guys, what the hell's going on?
Well, I did sort of say, I thought there would be at least one of yous that would say snog or marry, but every single one of them, please.
Love me. Someone. See me.
None of them did. Anyway, so obviously that game turned a bit sour. We're starting to feel it.
Can I ask a question?
Mm.
Do you then start hurting the other way? So when it gets to your turn, you're like, oh, well, you know, Riley O'Briley said this about me, he avoided me. Well, Riley O'Briley, now I'm avoiding you.
Mm.
You're being avoided.
No, because we have an honesty system, and so it's all about what's in our heart. And that's the thing, unfortunately, in all of their hearts, is that they would like to avoid me. So look, the thing was, so we keep playing this game, and then I thought, this can't get any worse. Well, you know what got even worse? When we started bringing our pets into it. Like, obviously, if you were a dog, would you snog, marry, avoid this dog? And the offense that people took through this was outrageous. Like, you think, and the thing is I'm sitting there copping being avoided over and over
over. A two-legged shih tzu that's been abandoned, a horse that no longer has a bottom row of teeth, and Davo. I'm avoiding Davo.
No, like, we didn't bring the pets in comparing to me. I was in a certain new category where we were just like, right, your dog Heidi, your dog bloody Junior, and my dog Misha Barton Davidson.
And they're still avoiding Misha Barton Davidson?
No, Misha Barton Davidson did better, but let me tell you, they got so offended by Heidi being avoided. It was like, actually, I thought it was going to ruin our weekend together.
All right. Well, I mean, I've never heard of the animal version of Snog, Marry, Avoid, so fun game to play for your next games
night. No, it's not.
It's Tim and Davo.
We're asking on 52232955, where did you fall asleep?
Seems like our listeners are all asleep, Tim.
Come on, give us a call. We want to know the impressive places you've fallen asleep. I saw a man sound asleep in a retail shop here in Geelong, just off Moorabool Street yesterday. He looked so peaceful, just in a single chair, nodded off, living his best life.
Well, like I've told you, you never sleep better with your if you've got your shoes on, you're going to sleep like an absolute dream. It feels nice and snug,
secure.
And beautiful.
Secure. Yeah. It's interesting. I like that.
See,
there's something there.
I'm someone that can fall asleep almost anywhere, and I often will sleep at the hairdressers. Particularly my last one up in Darwin, I would sit in the chair and I would literally sleep for 2 hours of the session. And I just feel like, if I start snoring, give me a little nudge.
Give me a shove.
Yeah. Great. So real cute.
I since having a child, my son's almost three, falling asleep face down on tiles is actually
something
like blissful. It is beautiful. I've never slept better than face down on tiles at my mother and father-in-law's place. So we want to know where you have fallen asleep. Matt is in Bell Post Hill. Matt, good afternoon. Where's an impressive place that you've fallen asleep?
Believe it or not, the other night I took my depression pills and I got woken up to my wife waking me up in my plate full of freshly cooked dinner that she had just freshly cleaned the bedroom sheets on.
What?
Yes. My depression pill, I was that exhausted and I'd taken my depression pill before I'd eaten like I normally do, and it had turned into a sleep pill, and it put me to sleep in my plate of American spare ribs that weren't just like, you know, it wasn't just nothing, it went everywhere.
Oh no. You can't fall asleep in your dinner. That's no good.
No, I couldn't. Yeah, that's my most impressive place falling asleep, I believe.
Was the food still edible once you did come to?
I didn't, She just grabbed it off me and said, just go to sleep. I don't think she was impressed that she went through the process of cooking that great meal for me not to eat.
Nah, but see, Matt, the thing is, like, Yeah, obviously, like, the medication has its effect, and you're probably pretty knackered before that. But, like, if my wife fell asleep next to me with her face in a bowl of soup, like, there would be a moment.
You'd have
like,
to lift her
yeah,
up.
Yeah, well, that'd be probably a faster one. Like, yeah, oh, no. But, like, there would be a moment of kind of sitting there like, what's happened here? You just...
Yeah, she didn't. Usually she takes photos of me and stuff. She didn't even take a photo. Oh, so it was...
She's done with you.
Yeah, done with me. She was pretty gutted. So I didn't go down too well.
Well, Matt, sending love to the household. Thank you. We appreciate you calling through and sharing that story.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.